Right now, we're deep into the season of holiday eating. We're going to zero in on Milwaukee and dive into the city's food traditions around the holidays. Our next guest says Polish, Italian, and German holiday traditions are big in Milwaukee, and she joins us to explore the food and the history that surrounds them.
Teresa Nemitz joins us now. She's the owner of Milwaukee Food and City Tours. Teresa, welcome to Central Time. Teresa, what kind of ethnic traditions are still alive and well there in Milwaukee?
Well, definitely the tradition of eating and feasting with friends and family is alive and well, and that's what we love to talk about and take people to do on our various Christmas tours in Milwaukee.
And let's start off with the Italians on your tour. How deep do those roots go?
Yeah, one of the things that we love talking about on our bakery bus tour, for example, is talking about the Italians and how they love to have fig cookies, for example, incorporated into their meals. And then also, you know, when you really look at the Italian traditions, so oftentimes St. Nicholas comes into it. And with the Italians, it's really La Befana, and she was very similar to St. Nicholas. And so that's a tradition that I think that we continue to see in Milwaukee as well as just in the community.
You know, in my family, holidays were a big time to express the ethnic tradition. You might not think about the Polishness all the year round, but when, you know, Christmas and Easter come around, that's when the unique traditions come out and those special foods. Do you see that a lot with different ethnic communities in Milwaukee?
Absolutely. In particular, when we are talking about the Polish, when we're doing a tour, we'll talk to people and we'll say, who here has Polish heritage? And we start talking about the traditions, and we know that the traditions are still alive. One tradition, for example, is that on Christmas Eve, there's oftentimes a supper with 12 dishes on Christmas Eve. And I think that's a beautiful tradition that many families still carry on. And then also a really simple tradition that I only recently found out is that oftentimes the Polish will have an extra table setting, an extra seat at the table, and that's for a stranger that may just come to the family, may need a meal that evening.
Are there specific neighborhoods that you associate with some of these different traditions? I know Brady Street, for example, has an Italian bakery or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Brady Street is really where the Italians have kind of moved and resettled and really reside in Milwaukee. And you really see a lot of those Italian traditions, not only at Certino's Bakery, but at Glorioso's Deli down the street, as well as the Firo's Pizzeria. So a lot of those places just have that wonderful Italian heritage. Then you look at the Germans. Obviously, the Germans, they came and they stayed in Milwaukee, and they really settled on Old World 3rd Street and then the various communities around it. And then the Polish immigrants living in the moon, the shadow of the Polish moon in the Walker's Point neighborhood.
You mentioned those fig cookies as an Italian tradition. I'm not familiar. A fig Newton pops into my head, I guess, and I'm guessing it's not that. Can you describe the fig cookie for us?
Yeah, it's not a fig Newton, but it's just a lovely cookie that's made with some fig filling in it. So it kind of, when you think about it, is a little bit similar to that, but it's just a very fresh cookie.
My grandparents had a German heritage, and potato pancakes were something that showed up quite a lot. Is that considered a holiday thing, too?
Ooh, I don't really know. I haven't had much experience with the potato pancake, but I do know about the Stollen being a wonderful, wonderful German tradition. So that's one that we see popping up just every single year. People are telling us about their family recipes that they're still using, and people are really talking about, you know, what bakeries in Milwaukee still make that very traditional Stollen dish.
Yeah, we did have that when I was growing up too. You jogged my memory there. My grandfather pronounced it Stollen.
Yes, very good. So tell me, since you have the German heritage, when you were a child, did you used to help to make your Christmas tree, or did your family or your parents make the Christmas tree and then just unveil it to you?
Oh, we always decorated it as a family.
Okay, yeah. So a very, very traditional tradition within the Germans is that the children would never actually take part in making the Christmas tree. Oftentimes, the father would entertain the children while the mother would decorate the tree, and then it was unveiled on Christmas Eve. So that's an interesting tradition that not very often is still used, but is one that we like to talk about on our Christmas tours.
Take that, kids. Well, you two describe the Stollen to me. I don't know that I've ever had one, Teresa.
Yeah, it's a really, really heavy, moist cake. It's filled with fruit. So think of a fruit cake, but just a much more moist version of that.
And I remember it having a bit of glaze on top and then sort of candied fruits like little jewels on the top of it.
Yeah, usually some nuts and raisins and some fruit. And so everybody kind of has their different recipe or tradition of what they put on the top. But you are correct. Definitely some things that are sprinkled on the top.
And does, you know, with fruitcake, sometimes people put rum or some alcohol on it. Is that something that's ever done with the stolen?
I don't know.
I always put an umlaut in things. There's no umlaut.
Very good. I don't know. I personally haven't had any with any alcohol in it, so I'm not quite sure.
So what about the Polish foods, Rob? Your airship, Polish foods. No, there's no umlaut.
No umlaut there, yeah.
What are the Polish holiday food traditions?
The Polish really big into having a feast where they would lay out all these different dishes and they would have different dishes in each thing. So, you know, maybe the meat dishes and the various bakery dishes. And so that was really their focus, was having not necessarily a particular dish, but 12 different dishes on that Christmas Eve supper.
We're talking about the food tours of Milwaukee and ethnic holiday food traditions in the region with Teresa Nemitz, the owner of Milwaukee Food and City Tours.
And we want to hear from you. What old world holiday traditions got passed along in your family? Is there a favorite baked treat that you make every holiday season? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back now with Teresa Nemitz to talk about Milwaukee's ethnic food traditions and where you can taste that history today, especially over the holidays. Teresa is the owner of Milwaukee Food and City Tours.
And you can join the conversation. What are your holiday food traditions handed down through the generations? If you have a Milwaukee local heritage, Italian, German, Polish background, do you prepare these holiday specialties today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Michelle with us in North Chicago, Illinois. Michelle, hi.
Hi.
What is your question?
Well, actually, my holiday tradition, our food is more Caribbean, and it's called pepper pot.
Pepper pot. I've heard of pepper pot. Describe for us, would you?
Well, it's a bunch of meats. You put a lot of meat in. You put, like, salt, beef, and tripe, pigtail, oxtails, and you put a sauce called Kasrip on it, and it's a cassava-based sauce. And you just boil it up and let it boil, and you can eat it over rice or with fresh baked bread.
Now, it's called pepper pot. Does that mean that, Michelle, is it spicy?
Yes, you can put whole peppers in it, like whole habanero peppers or locally grown peppers, just hot peppers in it, and it usually gives it that real kick.
Wow.
Or if you don't want it that spicy, you can put just black pepper in it to give it a milder kick.
Well, that's fantastic to hear about. Michelle, thank you so much. With all the meat in there and the special sauce, it really does sound like a feast day kind of celebratory food. Have you heard of that one, Teresa?
No, I have not heard of that one. Sounds delicious, though.
Yeah, people are adding new ethnic traditions to our region all the time. And we're going back to the 19th century and early 20th century for the European, not colonists anymore, European immigrants, I should say. But a lot of new history being built up there all the time.
Yeah, and even I think about St. Nicholas Day, for example, something that is very traditional in Milwaukee in the Midwest, but not necessarily in other parts of the country even. And so every year, you know, we just had St. Nick's Day again, and I see friends and family posting on Facebook, what is St. Nick's Day? You know, folks that aren't in this region, they don't even know about the tradition. So that's one great example of, you know, tradition that continues on, and maybe it just might be regional, but it's a great tradition. And oftentimes, you know, I love the fact that it ties into food too, because you know, really very traditionally, those stockings were filled with fruits and nuts for the children.
Michelle, thanks so much for sharing the pepper pot with us. We'll go next to Connie in Portage. Connie, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you, ours is an English tradition. Our family's from England. And every Christmas, we had suet pudding, which is similar to a plum pudding, only you didn't use any molasses, so it was white. And you steamed it for 3 hours, and then you put a hard lemon sauce on it. And we could not wait for every Christmas.
So, Connie, I gotta say, the word suet in any food is going to put me off a little bit, but this thing's good, right?
Oh, it's absolutely delicious. But you cut the suet up, the fresh suet, off the kidney, very tiny, and it melts, like, in there. And it just makes the most I mean, our family, it just goes crazy over it. It has raisins in it, and it's just a wonderful. And I also wanted to add, we've always had, I lost my train of thought, but for Stollen, we always used yeast breads for that, never a cake.
Interesting.
And I wondered if that's something different with the cake, you said, a cakey type?
Connie, thanks a lot for that call. Let's start with that Stollen controversy, Teresa. Yeasted versus cake style. Is that a debate?
I don't think it is a debate. I think it's definitely still a yeast version. I think that it's definitely more of a yeast bread kind of a loaf as opposed to cakey. So I think that your caller is right on that is the more traditional way to make it.
I want to follow up on her plum pudding comment. She said she's from England. One year, my husband decided to get super traditional, and he made a plum pudding, and it was amazing. Can you still find that kind of old world English dessert anywhere in Milwaukee?
I'm not really sure, honestly. I've not heard of any place making it. I know that, you know, there's a lot of these older traditions that have a lot of folklore attached to them. You know, for example, having mince pie is going to bring you good luck in the new year. So, I mean, that would be amazing if places are still making these items. I know Stollen is a great example of something that, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, that's just fruit, like a fruitcake, but it's not. You know, it's a very traditional bread. So I'm not sure.
Teresa, I wanted to ask, as you're giving tours of ethnic bakeries to people, what are the big hits? Some of these ethnic traditions may only appeal to people who grew up with them, but are there things that are, like, these are universal crowd pleasers?
Oh, absolutely. On our bakery bus tour, we visit 6 to 8 different bakeries in a 3-hour time period, and at each spot, we have a different ethnic traditional treat that they get to eat, and then they get to do shopping as well. So we do our Christmas Around Milwaukee bakery bus tours every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They are almost all sold out, and everybody loves it. Everyone loves the opportunity to have sweets and treats and learn a little bit about Milwaukee.
Now, Kringle has a big following in Wisconsin. The Racine Kringle is famous. Does that have a particular ethnic root?
Yeah, definitely. It has a Danish ethnic root. We are now doing a Kris Kringle tour down in the Racine, actually, area. And we just did that this past weekend. Great, great tradition. You know, in Racine, when you talk to folks, they want to really talk about what their favorite Kringle is. So very, very popular to talk about what their options are. And on that particular tour, we visit not one, not two, not three, 4 different places for traditional Kringle and samples.
I want to ask before we let you go, Teresa, the thinking about Italian bakeries makes me think of cannolis. I don't know if that's, is that a holiday thing or is that kind of a year-round thing maybe?
Yeah, that's really a year-round thing. Cannoli actually is really, it started as a symbol of fertility actually way back when and in the springtime. And it's something that has really just become a very traditional Italian or Sicilian treat that people eat all year round.
Teresa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thank you so much. Hope everyone can join us on Milwaukee Food and City Tours Bakery Bus Tours.
We're talking to Teresa Nemitz, owner of Milwaukee Food and City Tours. We've been taking a tour of Milwaukee's holiday food traditions and the history behind them.